Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Get this party started.
Woohoo!
That's the first talk show on the planet.
Got JQ, we got Lou, we got Rob, we got Curtis, we got Gary, we got your boy Dre, we got everyone in the building on this amazing Tuesday edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. JQ is doing his best Rob impersonation, just sliding in, before it starts. But JQ, that's what's up, man. He's connecting to the audio as we speak, too, man. So, he's not even connected. He can't even hear the joke just yet, too. But we're about to have some fun. There he is. That's what's up, man. So let's get this party started. May the 11th, we are flying through the month here. I would not be remiss. I know we just had Mother's Day, too, but again, shout out to all the mothers out there. A lot of love, all that good jazz. So, again, let's get this party started. JQ, can you hear us? Are you good? You got the ear pods in, stuff like that?
Yep, I hear you.
Let's kick it off with you, bro. How are you feeling, man?
Your boy is tired, bro. I'm good. Yeah. The travels, you got to pull the devil. Worked a regular job and just got home and set up my doing the Strikers home opener. So ready to talk with y'all. Mixed bag. I like the Strikers to win, but they were playing my local bat tour, the Reds AAA affiliate, so the Bats won. So I had to celebrate on the inside. Just I work for Strikers.
Right. Man, I had to look at that twice when you sent that earlier day, man. I thought you said a stripper.
No, come on, man.
You know how many jokes?
I definitely went to do that.
What's JQ got going on, man?
Come on, wow.
No, I would never tell you nothing like that because you would never let me live it down. So, no, the Strikers, not the strippers.
The Strikers.
That's what I thought. What about strippers for?
and it seems to be, man. That's too close.
That's why they did it. They get people to talk about it. They ain't gonna ever admit to that, but that's why they did it. I know that's why they did it.
Yes.
I'll say this. It's crazy because JQ knows history because for some reason we were the Gwinnett Braves whenever the inaugural season, and people couldn't figure out that it was the Atlanta Braves and the Gwinnett Braves. People would literally have Atlanta
Gwinnett,
Braves tickets.
Yep.
They were taken to Gwinnett. And for some – I don't know how dumb
Gwinnett.
You are, people, but I'm just saying, it's Gwinnett in Atlanta. So they had to change the whole name of the AAA team to reflect that, which makes no sense to me. But, again, that was happening.
No.
So, I don't know why
that's I don't believe that because there's no way you
that
thought you were going to an Atlanta Braves game. You had four tickets for $40 and you were sitting behind home plate. That should have been the first indication that you
right.
had to go to the Atlanta Braves.
you are a normal human. For some reason, in Gwinnett, it was happening so much, bro.
See,
I don't know
human.
Why.
Wow.
We have Rome Braves, we have the City Braves, we have the Danville Braves. For some reason, they couldn't get to Gwinnett, Atlanta. They couldn't
Braves
figure it out.
Too, aren't
so, that's correct. Yep. So it was it's a cluster. I don't even know why that even happened. But anyway, I digress. Shout out to DJQ. I know I've been pulling a lot of doubles there by DJ and do the regular thing, man. So I feel your pain, but we'll have a nice night. We'll get off right at 12 as we always do. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Man, feeling good, man. The Yankees finally was able to beat the Rays, man. It seemed like the Rays didn't have our number, man. But, we finally pulled one out tonight.
That's true.
We're feeling good, got my double doses of asparagus in today, so brother's good.
Double dose. Oh, man. Curtis, Gary, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I did my drive back from Denver to Portland in my motorhome by myself.
Nice.
Put the hammer down on it, made it in 2 days. But, it was rough. Still, that was a long day driving a 33-foot motorhome. But made it back. Motorhome looks fantastic.
Yeah. that isn't pushing 100 miles per hour, Gary. That isn't push that fast, bro.
But I couldn't drive it. I couldn't drive my motorhome to Seattle in 2 hours. I don't think I could do that.
you know that JQ made it on time for the show, so you know he's got a heavy foot. He follows you on 100 miles per hour.
Well,
yeah.
Be safe.
Slow down, bro. Safety first, man.
Yeah,
I can't help it. That's just how I am.
Hey.
My heart did really well.
You got daughters at home, man.
Yeah, that heart did really well. Curtis had a test, heart test, that he went through, and he did real well on it. So we're happy with that.
Good.
There it is. There it is. Good deal. Hey,
we're praying for you, brother. Keep fighting, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got two surgeries coming up, and he's going to have back-to-back. He's a fighter. Every day, every day when you're battling something like what Curtis is battling, is a struggle. And he's still able to get up. He's still able to, using his walker, but he's still able to walk in to the restroom. He's still able to do these things that they said no way he was going to be able to do. And you watch somebody like that, and so many times in our lives, we take just, Curtis and I were just talking about this, we take being the way we all are for granted. Until something like that hits you or hits a family member. And, of course, Curtis is family to all of us. So it's good to see him fighting and he's doing a great job.
I'm happy to be there.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Curtis. Appreciate you, man.
There you go, Curtis. Keep fighting, brother. You're a true warrior, man.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Here.
Yes. You doing good, Lou, as well?
Yeah, I am. I'm holding my own.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll talk about some interesting topics regarding your Jets and the quarterback and all that fun stuff, too. So, gentlemen, we want to get this party started. Let's throw the – it's not a knock. It's just a more or less just some observations and some questions, if you will. But as always, gentlemen, let's throw out the numbers. If you want to reach out to the show, the number that everyone called in, it's the same every single week. We've got the 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter. Follow us in that aspect, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com, you can type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Shout out to Rob for putting the 2022 NFL draft on there too, so not so early, but again, we can definitely touch base on that. There's the top 32 prospects. There's a couple quarterbacks. Again, as you always know, I can't wait to hear Rob's thoughts about that too. So, Rob, thank you for posting that as well, and let's go ahead and get this party started, if you will, gentlemen. So, right out the gate, we are just wrapping up the NFL draft, but let's talk about, again, the top five candidates for the Offensive Rookie of the Year in the National Football League. So, Rob, we'll let you start off with this one, sir. JQ, Curtis, Gary, and Lou. So tell us your thoughts about some top five candidates to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Is it quarterback? Is it a position player? I'm curious to hear everyone's thoughts. Rob, lead us off, sir.
Normally for this, I like to go with a position player because, the quarterback, most rookie quarterbacks, don't hit it on the head, their rookie season, right? They grow and develop as the season go along. So a lot of times it's a position player. A lot of times it's a running back when you look at, offensive rookie of the year. So you got to look at Najee Harris, Pittsburgh Steelers, as being a possible candidate. You got to look at Travis Etienne from Jacksonville being a possible candidate. And a lot of you might think I'm a little biased, but I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase as the guy to do it just because of his rapport he already has with Joe Burrow, right? And Kyle Pitts was actually a guy I was really thinking heavily on too, but I'm going to put him number two behind Ja'Marr Chase. And the only reason I did that is because the Falcons still have Calvin Ridley and they still have Julio Jones. We don't know how healthy he is and things of that nature. So he's going to have to share the ball, where I think Ja'Marr Chase may go into Cincinnati and be the number one receiver day one. And Pitts, like I said, he's going to have to share the wealth. So I got Pitts number two. I got Chase one. I got Najee Harris number three. I got Travis Etienne number four. And they got Devonta Smith number five. I know you're probably wondering, well, where's Jalen Waddle? Six pick overall.
I was thinking that too.
I got him just on the outside looking in. But I like to go with the skill position player for the rookie season because quarterbacks just take a little bit longer to gel. And in a lot of cases, wide receivers does too. So it wouldn't be surprising if a Najee Harris or Travis Etienne win, but I'm going to go out on him and go with Ja'Marr Chase as being that guy just because of the rapport that he already has with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like a 1A, 1B for me. Because I was thinking about Kyle Pitts too. And the reason why I say that as well is the fact that I don't think Julio is going to be there. You look at all the signs we're trading to cut him post that June 1st. So those targets, when he's healthy, that he will absorb, I think it's going to get passed around to him. But I'm with you with Cincinnati and Ja'Marr Chase because the Bengals defense still has a lot to be desired. And they're going to have to throw a lot. I mean, they're not going to be able to ball control it and say, okay, we're only going to throw the ball 20-some times, which will limit Chase's numbers. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. They're going to have to win some shootouts to win any game, so to stay in some games. So that defense is not where it needs to be. And I think the same thing with Pitts in Atlanta, is that they're going to have to win some games where they get garbage time numbers and look at it like, damn, he got 8 catches for 134, but it also has 17 points. It's, those kind of situations as well. I don't like Najee Harris, but I mean, I like it for what you're saying because he's stepping into a void that he can still master with in Pittsburgh. They've already let Connor go. Snell kid is not, I don't think, an every down back in the NFL. The other pieces of it, I worry about Devontae and Waddle because Miami quality still has, Devontae Parker also out there. And you look at the Eagles, I'm just not sure if they're going to hold up. He's going to have all the chances in the world. So I think I will put Devontae fourth. And like I said, I think I will put Waddle fifth. Etienne, I will put on the outside because I just don't know how you put James Robinson on the bench and don't utilize him. He was really one of the few bright spots for Jacksonville last year in the running game. When you knew they couldn't throw the ball, he still was catching and running, getting runs and getting, 100 combined yards per scrimmage, 125, 150. So I wonder how they divide that load up early because you just can't look at him and say he's a bum. He had a really good year last year, just on a bad Jacksonville team. So I definitely agree with you at the top, though. I think, Pitts and Chase, because of the state of their teams and them having to throw the ball so much, they're going to get the most opportunity to excel.
Travis Etienne reminds me so much of Alvin Kamara. They're going to have him. They're going to run both of those running backs. He's got the balance like Kamara, too. He breaks a lot of tackles. He's hard to break down. And he catches the ball out of the backfield really well. So I think you're going to see him be a dual threat. Najee Harris can catch the ball out of the backfield, but I think Etienne will be a little bit better in that area than Najee Harris. And I think that's where Etienne comes in play here. He's going to be that guy that's going to be so versatile for you, and he's going to have a lot of all-purpose yards for you.
So that's a good point. Depends if Urban deploys him as more in that H-back kind of role, not all the time just as a straight running back. So I'm interested to see what that Jacksonville offense actually looks like in the NFL. If he just tries to take that Ohio State, Florida offense and put it, or if he tweaks it, saying, okay, I know it's not college. So, you could be right if he employs that kind of H-back style. I think that's what the ATM did in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Talk about Dallas rookies and talk about Pittsburgh developing their rookies.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Curtis?
Down to three.
Well, I want to just talk about I like the attitude our rookie at Dallas came in with It is a big hug of the commissioner and calling out the linebackers to come on with me, get done. I really like that. And so I'm looking for him to step up because he called himself out. And let's see what he does. I also want to say, when Pittsburgh picks up rookies, you always got to watch out. I don't know what they got in the sauce, but Pittsburgh does a good job of developing rookies.
And absolutely.
What they pick up, watch them, they're going to be stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought they did a good job on the draft overall, too.
I think that receiver that Burroughs is familiar with, you know, he's got a year under his belt. Now he's going to have a receiver with him that is, you know, his guy. That's going to help him tremendously. I think everybody else is going to be chasing those two guys. I think he's going to do quite well, actually. And I hate to say that, but I will be talking about the Pelicans a little later.
Oh God!
What you got, Luke? With you?
Well, the thing is that, you know, like one of your previous partners said, that, you know, quarterbacks do take a while for that to, you know, to develop. So I'm looking more like for like special teams. You know, to take over, and we definitely need a whole overhaul. You know, we need good running backs, we need good safeties, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do like Wilson, you know, as our quarterback, but you know, he's just not going to carry this team by himself. You know, so you know, we have to, you know, look at our other position players. When I'm kind of interested in our other draft pick, Vera Tucker. Well, if that's new, you know, as Vera Sucker. But, you know,
no, exactly.
That's a little joke, folks. So, you know, I'm looking to see what Tucker's going to do here from USC. But then again, us with the West Coast players, that's been a downfall for quite some time now. So I'm just hoping that maybe he's going to be able to break that West Coast curse. I wasn't too surprised about one of the other draft picks. Not one of my teams, though, but one of the favorites, Surtain, from Alabama, going to Denver. That one I thought was kind of expected too. And they also need help on the special teams, like with the cornerbacks and safeties and whatnot. So, you know, that might be a good move too. And Parsons from Penn State. Hey, you can't go wrong with Penn State. You can't. That was a great move for Dallas.
Yeah.
Smith, jury's still on Smith.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I Tucker, I think that was a great pick for the Jets. I think he's going to go in there and start day one.
Which one,
Tucker, I think it was a great pick for the Jets. He's going to start day one for them on an offensive line. And, you know, offensive lineman is not going to be the offensive rookie of the year, but – you know, he'll be in there and starting and helping that team.
You better
be. Next to Mekhi Becton and building the core on that offensive line for the Jets. But, yeah, it would definitely be a good pick. At 13 for Denver on the defensive side of the ball, definitely a candidate. And, you know, Dallas wanted one of those cornerbacks. Dallas wanted J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. But when they both were gone, I give Dallas credit. They traded down. Both the cornerbacks was off the board, and they got some more picks, which I thought was a smart move, and they still was able to get Michael Parsons since they couldn't get one of his cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm just going to say really quickly, whenever we're talking about, I agree with you, JQ, Rob, about Ja'Marr Chase, and I just kind of harken back to, like, how hard it is for a rookie wide receiver to come in and just be outstanding. It kind of reminds me of Randy Moss, when he first came in the league and just had like 17 touchdowns as a rookie,
Randy Moss.
And just made that Vikings team the number one offense at the time, and that was the infamous, you know, they had the Randall Cunningham, and that's whenever they lost to the Falcons. But just that offense was dynamic.
Mm.
You know, Randy Moss had 17 touchdowns, what, 1,300 yards, just an amazing impact on that squad, too. And I think that Ja'Marr Chase has that same type of ability. I'm not saying it like Moss in that instance, but just that dude is really talented, too, man. So, I know. So I kind of agree with you in that. I'm kind of hoping Kyle Pitts can do his thing, too. I know he's got the tools, and well, the Falcons definitely want to feature him, too. So I know we're going to be definitely more balanced, but cannot argue with all those guys and Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. So we'll see kind of how that top five kind of, again, shifts, because I agree with you, Rob, that Travis Etienne has been compared a lot to Alvin Kamara, too. So we'll see what type of offense.
Kamara was offensive rookie of the year, his rookie season, too. And,
absolutely. So you got to see how.
If you look at Ja'Marr Chase, you know, Justin Jefferson, you look at how great of a rookie season he had last year. People forget Ja'Marr Chase is better than him when they won the championship that year. I mean, he put up better numbers. He was a bigger home run threat. And he had a better season than Nathan's season. So, yeah, that's the thing you got to think about when you're Andre make a good point about the rookie wide receivers. Not a lot of them come in and just put up big numbers. You, Randy Moss, you think of Torrey Holt, you think
Calvin
of Justin
Johnson.
Jefferson, Calvin Johnson, Michael Thomas 3 years ago, his rookie season put up big numbers too. So, I mean, it's not many. I think Chase certainly has that kind of potential. And like I said, Justin Jefferson should have last year, and Chase has a better season than he did. That don't necessarily mean like means it's going to translate to the NFL, but I think it will.
Gotcha. All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about some top quarterbacks here. So we're going to figure out which rookie quarterback will have the best rookie season. And this is pretty interesting because right now we know for a fact, as Rob did mention, it's tough for any rookie quarterback. One of the best to do it, Peyton Manning was, you know, again, the guy, and he struggled. His, what, had something 28 interceptions, and he had a tweet that he hopes that Trevor – Lawrence can play so he can break his interception record. You know, obviously Peyton was clowning. But we're going to talk. We're going to start West Coast, Curtis, Gary, and Lou, and then come back around because you know that Trevor Lawrence is going to play. You know that Zach Wilson is going to play. There's a question mark on, you know, Justin Fields should take that job in Chicago. Mac Jones maybe in a couple games should take that again. And then Trey Lance is the one that, you know, we'll see if he's going to come in because, you know, maybe game eight or something like that if you're hearing the tea leaves, will, because they didn't trade all them picks for not to put him on the bench. But he may be a project. So those are the kind of things that you're looking at too. So I guess we're going to start out with Gary, Curtis, if you guys will kind of circle back around, think back around, and Lou as well. Who do you think is going to have the best rookie season as a rookie QB?
Well, you know, with Jacksonville, when you have Tim Tebow as the
That's
we got a better chance of making that team than Tim Tebow does.
You don't know. I mean, I don't really know. I'm thinking Trevor Lawrence it's a guessing game with these guys to see who's actually going to be able to, you know, take that meeting, you know, because it's a whole different ball game. You know, some of these guys, they get into the league, and it's like a deer in the headlights. Some of them just have that that ability to make that next jump. It wouldn't surprise me if a couple of those guys, of those top five quarterbacks, fall into that category. I don't really know. I'll say Trevor Lawrence because he was picked number one. So that's the safe bet for me. He's going to, you know, he can start. You know, so that's, I'll go with Trevor Lawrence. Who do you think?
Well, when you talk about Trevor Lawrence and you talk about this Tebow, I think they did that just for Cal City. Because I really don't see Tebow making in the league after being in the league for 10 years.
He's going to try.
I think somebody's going to take his head off. But don't take off his head because you end up putting the cross in the middle of the field and all these religious fanatics will go at it. So you better watch out with Tebow. Trevor Lawrence, he's got the height. he's got the hair.
Sunshine, right?
My favorite football people are women. And when women get into the game, for whatever reason, and if it's his hair, that's a win-win. And I think that's a win-win for all of them. It's a business. And you sell tickets. Joe Namath, what was he doing in Pantyhose?
How did I bring Joe Namath back?
Yeah, Joe Namath was selling tickets.
Trying to say Trevor Lawrence going to put on some pantyhose?
Yeah.
Talk about your quarterback, Lou. Let's talk about your quarterback, Lou. Joe Namath, Hollywood.
Hollywood. That's what the hair has to do with it.
Oh, my gosh. Lou, you still there?
I'm surprised we haven't seen Cam Newton wear pantyhose yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Lou, who's got which quarterback?
Gotta go with Lawrence. He'll have the better, rookie quarterback season.
Okay. I think it's going to depend on the systems. Who's going to be more successful? Who has the best team, too, could be a thing. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah.
I think it's Trevor Lawrence. And you talk about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow knows where all the bodies are buried in Gainesville, okay? Urban Meyer, when he took that job, I think he knew that he was going to have to sign Tim Tebow just to keep him quiet so they don't have to vacate those titles in Florida. So you can say what you want to say. Tim Tebow is making that team. I don't know what he's going to do on that team, but he's going to be on that roster because Urban Meyer don't want Tim Tebow to say nothing, okay? Don't say nothing. I love you, bro. I got you. Now, listen, he's going to be on that team. I'm just going to tell you he's going to be on that team. But – I'm going to say with Jacksonville, and I agree with Gary. You look at it, you know, DJ Chark is decent wide receiver. You signed Marvin Jones. You drafted Chenault last year. You had James Robinson. You drafted Travis Etienne. He's going to play from day one. And you look at his division, you give Indianapolis, they have a good defense. The Texans are a dumpster fire. Tennessee made the playoffs, but Tennessee's defense is not great. We talked about last year, every time we were talking about picking teams, Tennessee was at the bottom of the league in terms of sacks. Now, can they change that around in the offseason? We'll see. But if you're talking about him going and playing from day one in the division, that's not going to win the division, but you got Indianapolis who's going to win the division. Those other four teams, those two teams, they can split or get three, go 3-1 against them. He can put up some good numbers against Houston twice a year. I think he can put up some decent numbers against Tennessee, especially if they play them that second time later in the year when he's got a little seasoning under his belt. So then they can also get to play the bad Bengals because they both finished last. They get to play the Jets. You know, so you look at what he has personnel-wise and who he's going to play schedule-wise, and you say, they get to play Denver, right, because they finished last in the AFC West. He's got a chance to go in and play some teams that aren't necessarily going to be world beaters with his cast around him got better. I mean, I just don't say that because he's the number one pick. I just look at it, like you said, he's going to play 17 games. Other guys may play 8. They may play 6. They may play 11. He's going to get a full 17 games to go out there and play. And so I'm looking at that without, you know, look at Zach Wilson. Got to play that Patriots defense twice with all those guys coming back. Got to play that Buffalo Bills defense twice with all those guys that are bringing back the AFC title game. And you got to play that much improved Miami Dolphins defense. That's 6 games where his stats are probably not going to be that good, even if he started from day one, because that defense in his division is going to be way better than the defenses in the AFC South. So that's why I go with Trevor Lawrence. I just think he has a better chance schedule-wise to put up better numbers.
Good call.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. We'll make this a consensus, I should say. Trevor Lawrence, for all the reasons you all have already said, he's going to start day one, number one, as JQ just mentioned. He's going to play all 17 games if he's healthy. He's got a 1-2 punch at running back, right? That's going to help the quarterback. He's got a franchise left tackle on Cam Robinson. That's going to help the quarterback. He's got weapons on the perimeter now, too, and Marvin Jones, the kid from LSU. So he's got some weapons there already, right? And an improving defense, too. Yeah. So they Everything is set up for him to be successful. He and the quarterback from BYU, in my opinion,
Zach
will
Wilson.
Be the only two of these five that Zach Wilson that start day one, right? Trey Lance, I think he can go this whole first season without starting. They may go Garoppolo. They may treat him similar to what Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes, right? Sit him his whole rookie season.
Yep.
And I could see Justin Fields and Mac Jones taking over at some point this year, but I don't see them starting day one. So to me, it comes down to Trevor Lawrence.
Probably
Zach
not.
Wilson, and I'm going to go with you know Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence easy.
Yeah, I think we're all in consensus. I think the good news is that I'm very excited to see what Trevor Lawrence does. I'm kind of curious to see how Justin does, too, because it feels like that defense with Chicago is definitely a good defense. But does Justin Fields have enough stuff around him? We don't really know about New York, if you will. Like you said, JQ, excellent call with those defenses they're going to play. There's a lot of question marks. Like Rob said, they had a really good draft. It seemed like they definitely addressed those needs. They definitely added some weapons for Wilson. But, again, that's going to be a murderer's row, you know, coming out the gate, you know, playing the Patriots. You know, Bill Belichick loves to confuse rookie quarterbacks. You know, he's playing that a very
– I like the Elijah Moore pick.
Very, very improved Miami Dolphins squad. So, again, six games right there. It's going to be tough for Zach Wilson. And he's going to be better for it, obviously, but just coming out the gate, it's going to be really tough for him, you know, for get that season on his belt too. So that's kind of a good call from there. We're not going to waste too much time on Tebow time in Jacksonville. He does have the body.
I don't see how he's going to make a comeback. He's been out for how long?
Oh, man, like 10 years.
Yeah, the
Blazers
are 2015.
Yeah, something crazy.
I told you.
5 years? Oh,
that boy is going to play. He know where all the dead bodies is buried in Gainesville, Florida. He is going to play. I don't think
he
deserves to play. But Urban Meyer owes that dude because he led him to two championships and he knows with all the foolishness. You got to think about them idiots that was on that team. Tim Tebow knows about all that foolishness. Urban Meyer don't want that to get out. He's going to do whatever he can to try to keep Tim Tebow happy. I just believe in my heart that that's the case.
Might be making a big mistake, though.
One thing.
They could be, but he wants to keep those two titles on his resume, don't he?
That's funny. That's funny.
He was not a good quarterback, but he's a good athlete, which is why he was able to, you know, play some baseball. Which, you know, those two things together, that's pretty good. So he's got a shot at making this team.
You're saying there's a chance.
And even that itself, I think is, you know, I think is good for the kid for the. I shouldn't say kid because he's, you know, he's a man.
He's grown.
He's going to be going against some young guys that are going to feel very resentful that he's got this shot. And there's going to be people out there on that team that are on that fence line that are going to want to take his head off.
Absolutely. All right. So as much joy as it brings me to tie the thread between Tim Tebow, and we can kind of, again, have a loose tie back to the Denver Broncos because, again, they actually did pick number one draft pick on Tim Tebow in that crazy Josh McDaniels situation. But that's a nice little tie, if you will. So let's talk about that. And you clearly have not gotten it right to be a quarterback because now – ironically, we're talking about the Broncos and possibly we're trying to make a run at Aaron Rodgers. So, gentlemen, I'm going to kind of tie these two topics together because I want to talk about the 2022 draft and I want to get to Russell Westbrook, too, with his record-breaking night, too, triple-doubles.
Oh, yeah.
But, number one, we don't really know if the Packers are going to actually decide to trade Aaron Rodgers unless, you know, he just makes it miserable. But the Broncos are reportedly one team that are trying to make a run. So, Rob, is this just like – smoke? Is this truth? I mean, kind of how do you talk about this, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, last week, you know, I was pretty adamant on the show that I think he's definitely going to be with the Packers this season. I'm not so confident of that anymore. I think it's 50-50 at this point because Aaron Rodgers could he can really sit out the season if you really want to, right? He can go do Jeopardy or something like that. And you know, he could force the Packers' hand. The Packers obviously don't want to lose him for nothing, right? And if there's a team out there that they can get a boatload of draft picks for and kind of, you know, start, you know, preparing for the future again, I think they will rather that as opposed to not getting anything for him at all. I think, you know, it's a possibility. Denver has the cap space. You know, they would have to give up a boatload of picks. But they have the cap space to bring an Aaron Rodgers in. So all indications are that they're going to make a pitch to offer Green Bay. So it's going to be interesting to see. It looks as though that relationship may be torn. And I think it's 50-50 at this point. I don't know what Green Bay can do to convince him to come back right now. And, you know, all indications are he wants to be on the West Coast. I know Denver is not quite totally the West Coast, but maybe close enough. So Denver's got some weapons on that team with Jerry Jeudy. And, you know, they got some weapons on that team that he can, you know, throw
to. KJ Hamler.
KJ Hamler. They got some weapons on that team. And, you know, running back position as well. They have some weapons on that team.
Is still there?
So who?
Ryan Lindley or whatever his name is. Is he still there? I don't know if he's still there. Yeah, keep going, Rob. You're good. I got you.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all I had to say anyway, but I think in a nutshell, I think it's 50-50 right now, you know. That relationship is got a lot of repairing to do if he's going to go back to Green Bay.
Well, the only thing, reason why I still think the Packers have the leverage is because of the story I read, and to follow up on it, that if he sits out, he has to repay some of the signing bonus because he wouldn't have played and it would have violated that part of the contract and he would have to pay some of that back. So he just can't walk away and not owe the Packers any money. So to me, if that's the case, the Packers still have a lot of leverage against him because he's still got, like, 2 or 3 years left on that deal. And if you're the Packers, if you talk with Devontae Adams, he said, man, if they get rid of Aaron Rodgers, I might not be back here because he's in the contract here this year. So not only are you essentially trading Aaron Rodgers, you're basically saying, okay, I'm going to have to franchise the hell out of Devontae, you know what I'm saying, Adams, you keep him here because he's already told me at this point, if you get rid of Rodgers, then I'm probably not going to re-sign here on a long-term deal. So that's two huge losses for that Green Bay offense. So that makes it much less attractive for anybody to want to go. If you're a quarterback, you're trying to follow Aaron Rodgers anyway. And then Devontae Adams leaves out the door because they pissed Aaron Rodgers off. I don't want that job, living in that damn cold-ass weather without no weapons. Like, if I'm Green Bay, I gotta figure this out. You know, and I think money is a lot of things that cures me. Because I also read that they have exchanged here in the past couple of days as it's gotten quiet, more contract negotiation talk to give him some more money. So now that they pissed him off, they're probably gonna have to overpay a 37-year-old quarterback, right? He's still 37. But I think if they give him more money than he probably was asking for initially, because they look at each other and say, you know what, we effed up.
Which is really we're
gonna
keep the 2 years,
not to pay. Yeah, I mean, stop it. I mean, I just 37. I just don't. But he's your icon. He's your franchise quarterback. And again, if it's a bundle deal with him,
but it's
and Devontae, you lose one, lose the other.
Hell.
Yeah,
you got to be Rodgers.
Bucs just won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady at what, 43 years old. So if Rodgers is still performing, they'll be willing to pay him that money, especially at the team where Brady was able to do the Bucs.
Right.
But Tampa Bay didn't pay Tom Brady that kind of money, though.
No, they
gave
him
$25 million for 1 year. You're right.
I'm the general manager for the Packers. Okay. Hey, JQ, this is the general manager, Gary Schaefer, for the Packers. How you doing tonight?
What's going on, brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. Hey, we just traded Aaron Rodgers, and we'd really like you to come and play with us up in this cold-ass place up here. We're offering you $17 million a year. Are you interested in signing with us?
Hell no.
You liar. $17 million would be
$17 million?
Yeah.
Not for a quarterback? Not for a halfway decent quarterback and your wide receiver.
We just need
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part.
Well, you're not a halfway decent quarterback. but we're willing to pay you $17 million. We just need you
to... Oh, if I know I suck, I'll take a $17 million for sure. If I know I suck and I can't get $17 million nowhere else, I'm going to go. But she's going to get ran out of Green Bay because they've had Favre and Rodgers for, what, 32 seasons or something crazy like that now? Because they both played 16 years, I think, for the Packers. They've had those two dudes for 32 seasons. You want to come behind that without Davante Adams? You go ahead and have fun with that. I don't want no parts of that.
I'm trying
That's
to
a hard
race.
32 years?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when Aaron Rodgers realized the team does not have an owner and it's the smallest pro team in a city in probably the history of all American sports. How much control do you think he was going to get unless he wants to be the owner of that team? And
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he played his hand out, but what Gifford has going for it, it has that thing with Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning picked good to get him that second Super Bowl. And that's attractive. You know, look at him. He's been the bridesmaid to get in the Super Bowl twice. And they can't get over the hump. And it doesn't look like they know how to get over the hump. Except to tell him, get us over the hump. And he's saying...
But the thing about Peyton, though, is he got cut, right? Because they were already in on the entry look area. He got cut, I believe, after that neck surgery. And Rodgers still got 3 years left on that deal. And furthermore, let you know that they aren't sold on Love is because if they thought he was that guy that you traded up for, they would have traded. They would have like, you know what, Aaron, you are not worth this headache. You go ahead and go because this dude we got sitting behind you is our Patrick Mahomes. Bye. The fact that they haven't done that tells me everything I need to know about that young dude.
With a broken neck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All we have to do is carry the news.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's somehow he's gonna work it out somehow. I don't see him. If he went to Denver, I think it'd be a good move for Denver. But I just I really do. I mean, even if they have to give up, you know, they got enough with a guy like Aaron Rodgers to make a legitimate run in the AFC, so I don't see any reason why they wouldn't if they had that opportunity. But
that's
I don't think they're going to have that opportunity. What's that?
You still got Baltimore, you still got Buffalo, you still got Kansas City, you got Kansas City in your division. Like that move to the AFC, even Denver with the weapons they have, ooh, those AFC playoffs will be something serious. Good Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Well, you know Aaron Rodgers is a whiner by nature.
Right. He was in the same division with Kansas City quarterback.
I think,
one
yeah,
and
okay,
nine.
I was going to say it.
They
he got disconnected.
Blog talk is wild.
Yeah, I'm looking for him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm looking for Justin Hubert to pass them all of them.
That night, I better go to before I get caught. Good night.
Good night. Have a good one. Thanks, Lou. So thank you guys for contributing. So I guess let's talk about really quickly before I know we got like 15 minutes here. I do want to talk a couple of topics here. I want to talk about the top 32 prospects, if you will, for the 2022 NFL draft. Rob, appreciate you posting that. And it does look like you got some quarterbacks here, and I'm definitely interested to hear your thoughts because it looks like we've got Spencer Rattler going number one for the 24. Is that right for Oklahoma? Are you laughing about that, JQ, or something else, man?
These quarterbacks are hilarious. With him and Sam Howell from North Carolina going like third or fourth, I said, man, did y'all watch North Carolina Oklahoma play? Ain't no way, man. Those two dudes would have to grow by leaps and bounds for me to take Spencer Rattler. Number one from Oklahoma, I've seen that dude play. There's nothing
it's
when I look at him. He is my guy.
I do like that in terms of our USC. That's a good call. And then this is Rob's draft. I'm gonna let Rob speak about this, if you will. Says again, you know, quarterbacks that value will get inflated, if you will, because I'm sure we didn't hear anything about Zach Taylor, and then all of a sudden he shot up to me number two. So, you know, it is.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Trey Lance too. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. What I said. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you look at the last 2 years. Zach Taylor. You look at the last 2 years. Joe Burrow was somewhere around a fifth or sixth rounder before the season started, right? And same thing with Zach Wilson. He was somewhere in that ballpark at a fifth or sixth rounder. So they and there may be another quarterback out there this year that may climb that high. That's a fifth or sixth rounder as well. So, you know, you never know, obviously. It's early in the game, but there's no question about Spencer Rattler's talent. You know, he's got the mobility. He's got the arm strength. And Lincoln Riley, somehow this dude produced this number one draft pick, right? And he may have another one. This year, so right now he definitely has the potential to be that guy. I tell you, guy, I really like in this draft, and Gary and Curtis, somebody you guys should be watching up there in Oregon, defensive end, pass rusher, Kayvon Thibodeau. He may be the best overall player in this draft. He's a beast. He's got the length on the edge. He's got the speed on the edge. He's got the bend on the edge. He's a tremendous athlete. And as far as I got him at number two overall, Keaton Slovis, Andre just talked about, West Coast pocket passer, quarterback from USC. He's another one. Don't quite have the mobility like Spencer Rattler has, but he's a pure pocket passer here as well. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Even Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama. There they go again. Prince Ty got another guy up there. Offensive tackle, Sam Howell. JQ doesn't like him, but the pro scouts love him. And he's definitely got the arm talent, got just enough mobility in the pocket. It'll be interesting to see how he performs this year in his junior season this year. Derek Stingley, cornerback from LSU.
Like that dude. Like that dude.
He's been a dominant corner in college since his freshman year. So, he's another guy. I got him at number six right now. Could definitely
be top five.
Darion Kendrick, cornerback from Clemson. He's in the transfer portal right now, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes this year. But I got him at number eight right now so far in this year's draft. Desmond Ridder, quarterback Cincinnati, JQ. He's another guy. Mobility as well. Has the arm talent, got a number 12 overall right now.
Now those wide receivers from Ohio State, too.
If you saw Texas A&M play, Jalen Wiedemeyer, tight end Texas A&M, he's been a beast this past season. Got him going number 13 overall. Drake Jackson, edge rusher from USC, another guy, got him number 15. Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State. Got him in there at number 16 as well as Garrett Wilson at number 17. And another guy you probably don't know a lot of, Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. Yes, I said it, Liberty.
What?
Yep, quarterback from Liberty, number 18 overall. We may have another Trey Lance in this draft from the small college. He's got the arm talent. He's got the athletic ability as well. But remember that name, Malik Willis from Liberty.
Okay.
And Tyler Shough, quarterback, Texas Tech. He was at Oregon, transferred to Texas Tech. Got him in the mix as well at number 19. Justin Ross, wide receiver from Clemson. He was a guy that could have been a number one pick in this past draft, but he did have an injury. So got him number 20 overall. Isaiah Spiller, running back from Texas A&M. Looks to be the number one running back prospect in this year's draft and run the ball as well as catch out of the backfield. Cade Mays, offensive lineman from Tennessee, at number 24. And here we go, Alabama again, another wide receiver. John Meekie III, I have number 26 overall. And 29, George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia, coming off a big injury. But, you know, if his recovery goes well, should be able to work himself back up into that first-round range. So the rest of it is posted on our page, Talking Sports with the 12 Man. So those of you all seeing it, visit our page to see updated top 32 prospects. Another guy to watch at the quarterback position who I don't have on here right now J.C. Daniels from Georgia. He's another guy that could easily move into this first round conversation too.
Yeah, I can always say that because I watched those dudes play, and Spencer Rattler just looks like a punk. And he goes out there, and he's got the talent, but I just don't like the cut of his jib. He don't look like he's going to be able to lead a franchise. Sam Howell's okay. I'm not saying I guess it's more about value. I don't know if I would take those dudes that high if I was a team. You know what I mean? Like, if I thought I was going to do them as a project and bring them in second round, you know, mid to late second round, yeah, but as my first overall pick, I just didn't see that from him. You know what I mean? Like, that dude from Clemson, the backup, you know, like, I could see him as you progress him and we get to, what, 2 years from now, and
yep.
You put him in the top five based off what I saw, I could say, okay, yep, I think that dude's got it. But I just don't feel that way about Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma. I don't understand it. But he's got his talent. I just don't think he's got it in the head. That's why I say that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Lincoln Riley can continue to do with him in his developmental process. But you know these quarterbacks are going to rise. They always do.
I know. Yep. And Desmond Ridder just blew that game against Georgia. He looked up and said, oh, shit, we can beat Georgia. He completely went in the tank. Like, I watched all of that game. Like, please let Cincinnati beat Georgia so I can walk out of here and talk so much trash. He completely went in. I said, man, what are you doing, bro? I'm just not a believer.
Wow. Gentlemen, I want to talk about the next topic here. We're going to wrap this thing up, and we can talk about some shit. I want to talk about Russell Westbrook, and please be remiss, because we may have to spend some time with this next week, too, because it's kind of, you know, you look at Russell Westbrook and all the stats he had, and you kind of wonder, like, why he's been on so many different teams. You know, he kind of had his thing going. If he would have stayed, could have, should have, stayed with – say it again, JQ. What?
Did he only been with two teams?
Three.
Okay.
Oh, three. I forgot
three.
About Houston. You're right. I'm sorry.
Three.
Thank you,
yeah.
JQ.
So you're kind of wondering about, man, because, again, if I'm Russell, you should have had your title with OKC, but whatever. And you had a dynamic team. Then you get traded. And it's just for somebody from that talent, you know, and this is me not knocking or anything like that. It's just kind of one of the situations where for him to average all these triple-doubles being great player, you just wonder about him as a teammate. And I'm not talking junk. It's just a curious thing. I will say that being from Indiana, Oscar Robertson was really big with Indiana because he went to Christopher Attucks High School. You know, he was actually the first player to actually score a triple-double in 1962, if you think about it. There's a line with him going to Cincinnati, JQ, if you will, University of Cincinnati. There's also some situations where he grew up with a lot of racism. This is Oscar Robertson against Bob Cousy. Didn't like him for the Celtics, and there's some things about how he got traded, if you will. So you kind of think about how that team would have been a little bit different structure. But he goes and he gets the first title for the Bucks at the time, I want to say. But, you know, I think we don't know enough about Oscar Robertson, if you will. I mean, he was a great triple-double dude, but this dude, what was that record stood for like 50 years, if you will, it seems like. And then giving Russell his props, but it's just like, I just don't want anyone to forget about how great Oscar Robertson was, too, because
go ahead and say
know,
it, Dre.
He had that.
I want you to stop beating around the bush. Go ahead and say it. You don't want that punk to take Oscar Robertson's record because he's a punk, and you know he's a punk, and now we're going to have to kick Oscar Robertson down the curb and say how great Russell Westbrook is. I want to tell you, look, if you're that good, you keep doing that. Teams don't get rid of you. And I can tell you like this. Washington ain't going to keep paying him and Bradley Beal to keep being in 10th place in the East, so he's going to be on his fourth team here pretty soon. So I just wanted you to go ahead and say it. Say it with your chest. He's a punk. You didn't want him to take that record from Oscar Robertson. I feel
upset.
The same way.
I was upset. Yep. Thank you, JQ, for saying that. Because I was just like,
you got to have the chest for this. That's my son to tell you, man.
I was pretty – it's like I was kind of torn because I don't want to, like, hate on the dude, but I'm just like, ah, you know what I'm saying? It's like
I just
didn't feel like – I don't know. I'm really.
He's not worthy,
man. I hated that.
You don't feel like he's worthy enough to pass him. Like there's some dudes you're like, you know what? He's a class act. He does it the right way. Good teammate. He passes somebody that's a legend. You're like, okay, that's solid. But you get somebody you feel like is an a-hole. that passes the legend don't deserve. You're like, damn, he just passed the legend. This now we got to talk about him
first.
He's
a talented dude.
I get it.
He's a talented dude. It's not talking about his talent, you know. But just,
and that's the way he's going to be remembered. He's going to be remembered as a guy that was ultra talented, obviously. Ultra talented. There's no question about it. But to me, what Russell Westbrook lacked was number one, leadership, right? He never had the leadership to lead his team to that next level or a championship level, right? So that's number one. He didn't have the, obviously, leadership like a Magic Johnson or Oscar Robinson and those type players have. So that was the main thing was lacking. And, you know, and also he didn't make his teammates better. And, well, that kind of all falls on the leadership, right? You never saw him elevate the players around him. And he was never a team player. And it was all about him on all these situations, right? And that's, you know, it was all about him, right? And did he have a game one year where he got a rebound for himself just to get a triple-double? Missed out on purpose to get a rebound to himself. To me, he's always been a selfish ball player, a team that didn't elevate players around, and he never had the leadership. But he will be remembered for his athleticism and for being ultra-talented. No question about it.
And they lost. They lost versus the Hawks. They got triple double, and they still lost. Didn't matter.
He was a talented player. But with Russell Westbrook, you know, you're right. He didn't make players around him better. He was selfish in a lot of ways. He had all the skills. If he could have, you know, stayed out of the way of himself, you know what I mean? I mean, if he plays against, like we see when he comes up, he really has a thing with Damian. And if Damian hits like a three in the face or something, he forgets everything that he knows about basketball, driving to the basket, dishing off, rebounding, his own game, which he's very strong at. And the only thing he wants to do is try and shoot threes to let everybody know that he's the best three-point shooter in that particular game. And so and that's what he does. And I've seen him do that against all these different teams. Whoever, he picks somebody out to dislike or to hate on. And remember when he used to go down to some of these guys and make the little baby cradle, oh, he's too small to guard me and all this stuff. But he's just a head kicker. And that's also what he's going to be remembered about. You know, it's a tragedy that, you know, that
not
he's
Rashard
got
Wallace.
This Wallace. Simple double to be in the same conversation as some of these greats. You know, it's ridiculous because he's not in their category, in my opinion.
I take a look at self-awareness, and Russell doesn't have many. Even last night. They should have called a timeout and won that game. But Russell went and jacked up a three when he's shooting 20% in threes. Not such a win. But I want you guys to think of this. What do we think of Charles Barkley? And what do we think of Oscar Robertson? When I think of Oscar Robertson, and I was a young guy, he hooked up with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Milwaukee, of all the places in the world, for them to get a championship. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I think his name, I don't think his name was that at the time. I'm not sure.
But they got the ring.
They got that ring. And so Russell, it doesn't look like he's going to ever get a ring. And if he doesn't, he's going to be in that cat there a little bit with Charles Barkley. But we're going to consider Charles Barkley a lot more fond than we did Russell. Because Russell was kind of edgy. And a lot of people didn't like him and didn't like his game. And I don't know why. I don't know if what. But he hasn't been in this one.
Go ahead. I heard the music.
Yeah, it's already over. It kicks in whenever we're definitely outside of the we didn't get a chance to set it up, too. So that's okay. Curtis was having his little point, too. So I think it was good to get that in, too, Curtis. We appreciate that, too, as well. So, yeah, thank you, JQ, for saying what I couldn't say. I was trying to be diplomatic and try to be political with it, but it was really hurting me to have Russell Westbrook kind of take it and just you nailed it, both you guys, Rob, JQ, Curtis, Gary. It was just like, this dude is not the epitome of and if I'm Russell Westbrook, I'd had about 30 assists if I'm playing with Kevin Durant, but that's just me. You know, you should have been a little bit more. I mean, I know you probably have this internal struggle. Yeah, and that you guys had the squad right there too. So, you know, if you would have stepped up and being the leader at the time, and you're not Kobe, you know, but I get you have a chip on your shoulder, but you got to let that slide to become, you know, a great team player if you want to, because you got the talent clearly, but just it's not enough to elevate your team as you saw too. So, I know we want to wrap this up.
We're gonna send Andre a Russell Westbrook jersey.
Please no.
Oh God, don't do
please
that.
No. Please, no. Don't waste your money. I was going to say really quickly, too, before we go, Rob, if you want to do the fantasy
draft. They're probably only selling them for $5 anyway.
Right.
You don't know. He just got the triple-double. I don't know if they're going to, like, elevate the price with that, too. I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
But, Rob, if you want to do the fantasy shout-outs and guys, you can do your last little thing. We can wrap up the show, if you will, too. So, yeah, there you go.
Wait, what are we doing, Dre? I'm sorry.
Did you want to do fantasy shout-outs, or you know, or if you wanted to not do that, we can kind of wrap us up too. So it's kind of your call, if you will. So no, it's like right at 12.
Oh, I definitely want to do the fantasy shout-out because I'm the champ, baby. I'm a champ, man. Definitely want to do the fantasy shout-out.
Never mind the shout-out. Let's go.
I had to do it, Gary.
Okay, congrats, Rob. You got to give him a shot.
Yeah,
you got to give it to me. But I didn't have the biggest win of the week, though, so we got to show some love to Blue Devil All-Stars, Sean in Atlanta, and the biggest win of the week, 7-2 over Hart High Five. That was in a ninth-place game. But show myself some love, pulled out the championship. Trust the process, Andre. That's the name of my theme, you know. You know where that comes from, right? You got to trust the process.
Yes.
Really nice to hit it back.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that crap is gone this day.
Yeah, So, had a nip-and-tuck victory over my division rival, Ronald St. Pelicans, 23. Beat him 5 categories, 4 categories. So, it was really close. He and I in the same division, and we kind of go at it every year. So, so it was a nice competitive championship weekend. So looking forward to our next years of fantasy here coming up with football and then, of course, basketball again in the fall. So thanks to everyone for competing. It was a fun year. It was a difficult year because we all had a lot of injuries in the NBA this year. Again, COVID and things like that.
Terrible year.
So it was managing the roster. You had to be real creative this year, right? And even in football, to a lot of extent, you had to be real creative with managing the roster this year. So hopefully we'll continue to start to get through that and get back to some regular days here. But like I said, to everyone that competed,
good job,
thank you all. We look forward to the next week.
That was a quick. We were making fun of Rob having 7 centers, but maybe that's the way to go, man. So I don't know.
Well, by the end of the season, I didn't have 7 centers, though.
No, you didn't. I had 7 by the end of the year because I had to put somebody on my team. Everybody got hurt.
That's why I started getting like those combo players, like guard, forward, center. You can have different players and kind of do whatever.
Absolutely.
So. But it's one of those things, too. Congrats, Rob.
I think I lost the rebound category in all 3 rounds of the playoffs. I think and DQ beat me in rebounds, and even in the championship series, Ronald St. Pelicans 23 beat me in rebounds too. But, you know, St. Paul was able to pull out some other category.
I just try to kill assists and like points at certain points, but it just didn't happen this year. So it was just one of those crazy years too, man. So it wasn't enough, man.
And really, to be honest with you, when you and I played against each other in the quarterfinal round, that was a nip and tuck matchup too. And even though I pulled it out like 5-2, we were tied in two categories. That one was really close too.
Yeah. I didn't have enough in the end, but it's all good. All right, gentlemen. Good stuff, Rob. There's some good stuff. JQ played well. Like, I know you were definitely trying to, like, that last week when you have any players, I'm like, man, I don't know how Jay's pulling it out. I don't know how JQ pulled it out. And I was like, I saw you make a couple moves. I'm like,
It was bad. That's all like, yeah, this is over.
That was a battle of attrition. I mean, even myself, I lost Aaron Fox, and he was killing it at the end of the year. I mean, he was averaging 25 points. You know, 9 assists, and you know, lost him the last 2 weeks due to COVID. It was definitely a battle of attrition for all of us.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, like I said. So, again, good game. I can't believe Rob put a thing in there for my hatred of Bob Stoops here for Oklahoma, too, but that's a whole other conversation, too, for that.
I'll say that next week. I gotta hear that one. You got to put that one in for next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another classic on Jay Ranch.
Hey, Kuzma had a second-round pick to the Pelicans for Zion. That'd be...
Okay. I'm getting off the phone. Nothing. Nothing.
Buffoonery.
What happened?
Buffoonery.
Ridiculousness.
Gotcha. Gentlemen, have a great rest of your week. Again, Curtis, keep on fighting. Hope you do good in those surgeries. I don't know if it's coming up this week or next week, man, but we'll be praying for you as always, and we appreciate your fight, man. Rob, thanks for the topics. JQ, good job, man. I'm sure you'll keep us updated as far as what's happened with the Gwinnett Stripers, if you will, gentlemen. So have a great time. Gary, don't drive too fast, bro, in the motorhome, sir.
I'm not driving for 6 months.
JQ, stop doing 100, man.
All right, I do 95.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Rob, I hope those earbuds lasted for you, bro. I hope those earbuds did good for you tonight,
y'all,
bro.
JQ.
About to say,
cut out drinks.
That was pretty funny.
Get off the phone. I'm going to sleep. I'm not listening to this no more.
Gentlemen, we'll talk to you next week. Be good.
All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a good one. Be safe.
All right, gentlemen.